So we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, seventh chapter, entitled The Son of Drona Punished, text number 4. Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranite Male, Apaschat Purusampurna, Mayam Chatadapasrayam, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranite Male, Apaschat Purusampurna, Mayam Chatadapasrayam, Bhakti Yogena Manasi, Samyak Pranite Male, Apasyat Purusampurna, Mayam Chatadapasrayam, Bhakti, devotional service, Yogena, by the process of linking up, Manasi, upon the mind. Samyak, perfectly. Pranihite, engaged in and fixed upon. Amale, without any matter. Apasyat, saw. Purusham, the personality of Godhead. Purnam, absolute. Mayam, energy. Cha, also. Ta, his. Apasrayam, under full control. Translation. Thus he fixed his mind. It's okay. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism. And thus he saw the absolute personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Purport. Perfect vision of the absolute truth is possible only by the linking process of devotional service. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. One can perfectly realize the absolute truth, personality of Godhead, only by the process of devotional service, and one can enter into the kingdom of God by such perfect knowledge. Imperfect realization of the absolute by the partial approach of the impersonal Brahman or localized Paramatma does not permit anyone to enter into the kingdom of God. See Narada advised Srila Vyasadeva to become absorbed in transcendental meditation on the personality of Godhead and his activities. Srila Vyasadeva did not take notice of the effulgence of Brahman because that is not absolute vision. The absolute vision is the personality of Godhead, as it is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 790. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. In the Upanishads also it is confirmed that Vasudeva, the personality of Godhead, is covered by the golden glowing Hiranmayena Patrena, veil of impersonal Brahman. And when that curtain is removed by the mercy of the Lord, the real face of the Absolute is seen. The Absolute is mentioned here as the Purusa, or person. The Absolute personality of Godhead is mentioned in so many Vedic literatures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, the Purusa is confirmed as the eternal and original person. The Absolute personality is the perfect person. The Supreme Person has manifold energies, out of which the internal, external, and marginal energies are specifically important. The energy mentioned here is the external energy, as will be clear from the statements of her activities. The internal energy is there along with the Absolute Person, as the moonlight is there with the moon. The external energy is compared to darkness, because it keeps the living entity in the darkness of ignorance. The word apasrayam suggests that this energy of the Lord is under full control. The internal potency or superior potency is called maya, but it is spiritual maya, or energy exhibited in the absolute realm. When one is under the shelter of this internal potency, the darkness of the material ignorance is at once dissipated, and even those who are admaram, or fixed in trance, take shelter of this maya, or internal energy. Devotional service, or bhakti yoga, is the function of the internal energy. Thus there is no place for the inferior energy, or material energy, just as there is no place for a darkness in the effulgence of spiritual light. Such internal energy is even superior to the spiritual bliss attainable in the conception of impersonal Brahman. It is stated in the Bhagavad Gita that the impersonal Brahman effulgence is also an emanation from the Absolute Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The Parama Purusha cannot be anyone except Sri Krishna himself, as will be explained in the later slokas. Translation again. Thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service, bhakti yoga, without any tinge of materialism, and thus he saw the Absolute Personality of Godhead along with his external energy, which was under full control. Om Agyana Timurandasya Ginandana Salakya Chakshurumilitam Yenatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Panchatattvamakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Sarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktisvaktikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So it's explained that when a cow has been in a barn that caught fire, then after that, the cow, each time it sees red, it starts to completely act in fear and panic, just because of the previous experience. So in the very same way, Srila Prabhupada explains how a person who has experienced suffering in the material world cannot imagine that there can be happiness in the personal form. And therefore, he desires to give up his ego. And he desires to give up all identity. And he desires to leave behind all variety of form. And therefore, he focuses on the impersonal Brahman. However, the devotees, they are not at all attracted to worshipping the Lord in this impersonal Brahman feature. And those who, due to material frustration, push forward this impersonal Brahman as the absolute truth are considered to be very undesirable association. Mm-hmm. It is said that when one sees such a person who is marking his forehead with three horizontal lines to indicate his conviction that the absolute truth is impersonal, and when one sees such a person, preferably with his clothes on, he should jump in the Ganges. Right? So the Vaishnavas react strong to such association. They are not they're not desiring the association of the impersonalist, because the impersonalist is denying the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore also devotional service. They consider that all this is merely sentimental and actually a waste of time and causing unnecessary attachment, and therefore it is binding activity. So this is highly unfortunate, because devotional service is the most glorious activity. It is the most wonderful activity, because it is described here as the linking process. It is the linking process. So that is quite amazing, that there is a process which can connect us with Krishna. It is very simple, and this is really defining what Krishna consciousness is all about. Krishna conscious means to be conscious of Krishna. And one can be Krishna conscious on many levels. It certainly is very rare if a person is aware that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is not an ordinary person. Anyone who knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is an extraordinary person in this world. He is one amongst very, very few. But that in itself is a great beginning. But still, one must purify the heart in order to be able to see Krishna more complete. One may have some level of intellectual understanding that Lord Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore be engaged in worshipping the Lord, but meanwhile, the heart is full of material desires, positive and negative. Positive in the sense, material desires for enjoyment, and negative, material desires for destruction. Desires to destroy one's enemies, desires to lord it and over one's competitors, desires to destroy undesirable things, because we're not as sweet as we would like to look at our own image. In reality, we are suffering from material conditioning and material delusion, which is classified in the Bhagavad Gita's Iccha Dvesa Samutaina Dvanda Mohena Bharataha, being twofold, being on the one hand controlled by lust, and being on the other hand controlled by envy. So these two are harassing us in all our dealings. So naturally, at times we get a little envious towards all other living creatures. It is not possible to be free from such conditioning. The nature of this type of conditioning is further classified in Bhagavad Gita as avritam jnanam etena yogino nichyavairina. Now you are dealing with the eternal enemy. Nichyavairina, the eternal enemy, which avritam, which covers. It covers the consciousness. So this is the problem, is that the consciousness remains covered, and therefore one cannot see Krishna clearly, completely, and therefore we cannot say that someone is actually Krishna conscious. Like sometimes Srila Jiva Goswami pointed out that devotional service starts, real devotional service or real bhakti starts on the level of spontaneous devotion. Because the difference between spontaneous devotion is that one desires wholeheartedly to serve Krishna and nothing but Krishna. One desires wholeheartedly to chant the name, fame and glories of Krishna and nothing but that. One desires nothing else but to hear the glories of Krishna or to be always absorbed in devotional service, which is much different than a process where one has to discipline one's mind. Samena cha, damena cha. Dhamma means to control the senses. And samena means, or sama, means to be equipoised, to have controlled mind. So to control the mind is very difficult if it has to be done by dint of determination. That is a very difficult thing. Therefore, ultimately, within Krishna consciousness, we depend upon satisfaction. Just like Vyasadev was also depending on satisfaction. Vyasadev, we saw, had performed his devotional service by writing down the Vedic literatures, which was the particular cause for appearing within the world. That was his particular mission. But after he had written all those various Vedic literature, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. He felt disturbed in his mind, and therefore he could not concentrate. He could not focus, and ultimately it became such a disturbance that he took to introspection to look at to what is the cause of this tremendous disturbance that I'm experiencing. What is it? And when he figured it all out, then of course Vyasadev was thinking, well, maybe it is because I haven't worshipped Krishna directly. Yes. Maybe I didn't focus enough on Krishna. And at that point, his spiritual master, Narada Muni, appeared only to confirm whatever he had already been thinking. And Narada didn't wait for a second. Immediately, he put his finger right on the issue, right? And by saying that, what have you done? By writing all these literatures, you have encouraged people in fruitive activity, in cultivate their desire for liberation. How could such activity ever satisfy the soul? Yes. So, in this way, it is very clear that nothing can satisfy but devotional service. And unless one is satisfied, there is no question of wholehearted dedication. And therefore, within our spiritual life, it is also important that there is satisfaction. It is not meant that our process is a process of austerity, more austerity, and then a little austerity as dessert. Right? That is not the idea. And just determination, and we must do it all for our purification. No, that is not the idea. We have to actually change our mood in regards to Krishna consciousness. We have to also make an adjustment by appreciating Krishna. We have to appreciate Krishna, not just mechanically say, there's Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but actually appreciating, there is Krishna, he's the all-attractive personality of Godhead. He looks actually very attractive, I must admit. He is also very nice. So if we say that Krishna is very nice, like yesterday we spend our day in glorification of Srila Prabhupada, and in many ways everyone has pointed out how nice Srila Prabhupada was. So in the same way, we can glorify Krishna by pointing out how nice Krishna really is. Of course, we must know something about Krishna first. Otherwise, how can you know how nice Krishna is? Therefore, we must hear about all the qualities of Krishna, how he acts, what he does, in order to appreciate him. But this appreciation of Krishna is very important. And if we develop this appreciation for Krishna, then we can very easily dedicate ourselves in devotional service, because then we want to serve Krishna. It is explained that there chaturvidha bhajante mam, that there are four types of people who worship Krishna. One, he comes not because he really cares so much about Krishna, but because he's in material distress. So he is the one who wants liberation. He's coming because of a desire for material liberation. He wants to be freed from material distress. So that is self-centered. Okay, I understand now, I have to worship Krishna. There's no way around it. What can be done? It's unavoidable. Yes. Or I'll do it. I believe that he can help me. And that is nice, but it means that whoever comes in that mentality has to, in due course of time, make an adjustment in his spiritual life. He comes with one particular mood and motivation, But as he is becoming fixed in the process, he has to make an adjustment in his mood in devotional service. Jai Sri Radha Gopinath. Equally so, the one who is coming for material wealth, or equally so, the one who is coming out of curiosity. Right? I wonder what it is. You know, what is it, that special light in their eyes? You know, these devotees, right? Or other types of curiosity. Whatever it may be. So a person, the fourth category of person, is the one who is looking for the absolute truth. But even he may be mixed with all kinds of desires for personal advancement. So a devotee is free from desires for personal advancement because he realizes that each situation is completely perfect. That every situation is perfect when the connection with Krishna is there. What good? The residents of Dwarka, they were considering that what good are these eyes? Yeah? What good are these eyes? What good is the light of the sun when Krishna is not here? Now that Krishna is not here in Dwarka, what good is it all? All these things are useless to us. They have no purpose, no function, because we cannot see Krishna. So this is actually correct. Eyes that do not see Krishna are not serving any purpose. They're useless eyes. They are compared to the eyes on the tail of the peacock. Such kind of eyes. And legs that are not used in the service of Krishna are compared to tree trunks and so forth. In this way, we are appreciating that all the senses should be engaged in the service of Krishna. But not merely in a forceful way, but in a way of appreciating the glories of Krishna. Therefore, we must understand the glories of Krishna. So the Srimad Bhagavatam in particular is that literature which elaborates on the glories of Krishna in his direct personal form and in the form of all his expansions and in the form of all his various energies, and how all the energies of the Lord are expansions of the Lord, and how they're actually directly connected to the Lord. So one who is Krishna conscious, he can see that in all time, place and circumstances. He can see that. And he sees therefore everything is ultimately controlled and directed by Krishna. And everything is ultimately the energy of Krishna. And therefore such a person becomes equipoised. His mind is no longer agitated. So this is a very rare state. Because this is the age of mental agitation. Right? This is known as Manda Sumunda Matayo Manda Bhagya Hi Upadruta. The age of an agitated mind, of Upadruta, where the mind is always disturbed. And where we have become lazy, where we are slow-witted, and therefore also are not very eager to work, to get beyond this state, this agitated state. The agitation of the mind is due to the influence of the mode of passion and ignorance. So this is the problem. As long as there is an influence of passion and ignorance, the mind constantly becomes agitated by so many things. So therefore, in order to counteract that, we have to take shelter of direct association with Krishna, of the process of bhakti yoga, and the essence, at the center of that bhakti yoga process, are in specifically the process of sravanam and kirtanam, of hearing and chanting. So, hearing and chanting must be done regularly, properly, attentively, in order to get the effect. And that is not so easy. Like, I don't know how others experienced it, but today for me, japa was a difficult thing because I was tired like anything and therefore couldn't concentrate. Right? Was trying to chant, but it became more like, I got to get through these rounds somehow or other. Right? I didn't manage all 16 yet, but well on the way. So we can see that in order to chant, we have to create favorable circumstances. It is not just a matter of determination. It is not just a matter of saying, I got to chant 16 attentive rounds, right? And take a deep breath and fix yourself up like that. It doesn't work. Okay? It doesn't work. For a while, maybe, until one day, you know, the next, a flat tire, right? That day, no more ability to just build up the determination again. So we must make sure that we create, that we make arrangements to have enough energy to chant. It's so difficult to get up, Prabhu. It's so difficult to get up, you know. Did you ever think about going to bed instead of getting up, right? I mean, the trick is, if you go to bed at 8 o'clock, I guarantee you that at 4 o'clock, you know, no matter how much you try, right, you can't sleep anymore, right? It gets difficult, you know. You wake up, you wake up at 3:30, you think, boy, another half an hour. But after 15 minutes, you're lying in bed, right? Really, I can't sleep anymore. And by 4 o'clock, well, I guess, you know, I may even have to go to the bathroom. Let me get up, right? It's like that. But if you go to bed at 11, right, then it's like 4 o'clock. 10 more minutes, right? 10 past 4. It's impossible. 5 more. Another 5. 4:20, right? And then you spend your Mangalartik in the bathroom, if you're lucky, right? If you get up at all. And then you come in. And you're at the tail, right, of Mangalartik. You are one of the members of the fan club, right, who are coming. Yes. So, in this way, you may have various ways of partaking. And meanwhile, you're thinking, well, you know, I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You may have this idea about yourself that I have a pretty good sadhana. Because I go to Mangalartik, at least I'm always trying. Even when I'm tired, I'm still going. Sometimes a little late when I'm tired, but I'm going. Right? Therefore, I have a good sadhana. And your conscience is nicely rocked to sleep, like a little baby. Sleep, 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 my little conscience. Don't feel bad. Don't cry now. Just sleep. Very sweet. Yes. Conscience asleep. Yes, everything is all right. But actually, to really chant, obviously, it takes a little more. It takes that you must have the energy to do it. You must feel fresh enough to chant. That means you have to make sure you sleep enough, first of all. Then the next thing, of course, is you have to make sure that the mind is a little peaceful, right? So these days we have all kinds of things to distract our mind, because this is the age of Kali, the age of distraction, right? Constantly everywhere there's distraction. Like I remember in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the description of Ajamil, who saw a sudra embracing with some prostitute, and due to that became agitated. Well, if in this way, in this age, you would have problems with that, we would have no chance for survival. Because you see more heavy things than that all the time. Right? All the time. Maybe not so much in Radhadesh, and that's your good fortune, but in the Amsterdam preaching center, or in other cities, in Paris, or London, or New York, such places, it's a little different, yeah? And we have to see things that, right, When we see what Ajamil saw, we consider that. That's nothing, right? You know? And I do not want to remind everyone, but in this way, there are many things in this time that can agitate the mind. Many, many things that can agitate the mind constantly. The type of dressing, the type of pictures, the type of sound vibrations that are constantly bombarding our senses certainly can agitate and echo in the mind, right? That can be. So there are many things that can agitate our mind. But Radhadesh is a wonderful little island. Therefore, these projects that we have, farm projects or projects a little away from the heavy cities and the mode of passion, etc., are very nice. They are places for recharging, places where it is easier to concentrate, because it may easier to get a peaceful mind. Of course, we have Kum, you know, so no matter where you go, right, you can always agitate your mind, right? Instantaneously. We have a direct connection to the mind. You just plug in and the primordial scream is there in your head, and from that moment on it flows in, right? A direct connection with agitation. If you compare the mind to an ocean, you know, it is like going in there and making waves, you know, like, you know, in the swimming pool, you ever make waves. And after about 10 minutes online, right, things are moving in there, right? And then it comes out of the mouth next moment, right? In the corridors, right? Of course, someone walks past you and said, "Did you hear?" Really? Wow! Right? Hare, where was I? You even forget to say Krishna after starting off with Hare, after hearing such a comment in the corridor, right? And you're already all the way down the stairs before you continue again, right? So these things are there. Therefore, I think we should be very careful with calm, and we should put a label on it, H, you know, an H label of a drug, dangerous drug, heavy drug, right? It's a heavy drug. It's addictive also, right? It's very powerful. You get addicted to it, you know. Just let's have a click. Go on again. So in this way, these days, anytime you walk in a room, you see, right, a screen, you know, and somebody's online. And I can't say that I can escape it myself. But I did for some time, last year actually, dump it. And it was very nice. It was actually very nice. I had a great time all by myself, not knowing what other people desired or were talking about. Having no idea. I'm not saying that that is practical at this point, because it's part of our organization, etc. And I'm not speaking in a strong way against using this thing in the service of Krishna, because everything can be engaged in the service of Krishna. But I did want to sort of say it, because it's a fashion of the day, that it does have the capacity to agitate the mind, and that therefore one should take big doses all at once, but small, controlled doses, so that one can let the mind settle again. And if you can avoid it, lucky you. Lucky, lucky you. If you never touch one of those things, you are very fortunate. You're very fortunate. You may come out the better person. Because for you, it may be possible to create more favorable conditions. It may help you to get a more peaceful mind. We are supposed to read every day, but what if you open the book and you cannot remember one letter, even after having read 4 pages? Yeah? And you cannot, and you just try to, what did I just read? And it just wouldn't go in, because in there it's moving too fast. Yeah? then also, clearly, we have to make some arrangements to slow down the mind, to create a little more peaceful conditions so that we can become absorbed. Because all our process of hearing and chanting is not just a magical, mechanical thing which acts in a mystical way, and you just have to kind of do it, you know, it doesn't matter how, and the effect is there. Of course, in one way that is true. Even if you touch the book, you're already being purified. Even if you read it unconsciously, it works in the unconscious also. But if you read it consciously, if you read it nicely, thinking about what you're reading, and trying to understand really nicely what is there, and when you are not understanding, maybe write down a question, take notes, etc., then you are absorbing yourself. You become very much absorbed. And when you become absorbed, that is explained in the Bhagavatam. There's that description of the arrow maker who was making the straight arrow, cutting an arrow out of wood, which is a difficult task, and trying to make it perfectly straight. So it said that day there was a celebration in the city, and the emperor was coming through, and there was a parade going through the city with the whole big band and everything, whatever they had. Yeah? And the arrow maker, he was absorbed in his work, and later that morning, one of his friends came by and said, "Wow, that was really a fabulous parade, wasn't it?" "Parade? Huh? What parade? Yeah? What parade are you talking about?" So, if one is absorbed, then you forget everything else. Everything else disappears. All worries disappear. All anxieties are away. All material desires are away. All agitation about other people. Why are they always acting to me like this? So it will be over, and you will simply be absorbed. So this is the way to read. So in order to do it, we must try and create favorable conditions. So there are different ways. Like I was explaining, rest enough and all these things, those are just, and don't put too much garbage in your mind, that helps. But there are other things, broader things, to be situated in an ashram properly. So to give up your independence, to take shelter of the directions of the Vaishnavas, to not make independent arrangements, but to act according to them, because it takes you immediately off a platform of mental agitation. Because when you're relying on your own intelligence all the time, then you're always thinking, well, is this right, is this wrong, you know, like, and if it doesn't work, I'll go back to them and say, "My dear Vaishnavas, I really try, but it doesn't work." In this way, I'll be guided all along the way, at least takes me off the mental platform for what I'm supposed to do. That is why it's so nice to have a spiritual master. Right? Because at that point, everything is clear and simple. Very simple. No more mental platform. It's simple. Here it is, the instruction of the spiritual master. Now just try and follow it. So in this way, we must take shelter of the process in so many ways in order to be able to fix our mind. Here we see that Vyasadeva fixed his mind in the engagement of his devotional service. Well, it's not just after reading that, okay, thus he fixed his mind, perfectly engaging it by linking it in devotional service. Very nice. Okay, let's also do like Vyasadeva. After all, we're in the Sampradaya. Fixed the mind and perfectly engaging devotional service. Yes, now I'm fixed. I'm fixed up again. Are you fixed up? Yes, I'm fixed up. Right? It doesn't work. It doesn't work, you know. So this whole thing, I gotta be fixed up, this, that. We've seen it, you know. We've seen it. But we've seen devotees
chanting their rounds while stamping their feet on the ground, shaking their head, flapping their cheeks, right? We've had one devotee, right, who was chanting on Sankirtan. Rita remembers it. And who was like chanting in a park. And he had a particular way of walking while he was chanting. So one lady called the cops on him, and they picked him up and put him in a mental hospital for a while. So this is a true story. Part of the true story of ISKCON. The true story of ISKCON is so far out, no one would ever believe it. Sometimes I think we should make a movie of it. But people wouldn't believe it. But anyhow, so this kind of chanting is also nice. Not that we are criticizing this kind of chanting. Certainly the devotee was completely sincere. And he's still a devotee doing nice and nothing to say. I mean, but still, it's not required. That's the point. It's not necessarily beneficial, right, to chant in that way. It can be done in a different way. So anyway, if we want to fix our mind just like Vyasadeva was doing it, then we have to come to that point where we are gradually making everything favorable. We remember that you have to accept whatever is favorable and reject the unfavorable, isn't it? So, anakulyasya pratikulyasya. So we have to do that by adjusting our life, by adjusting our tendencies. Because all our habits and tendencies are wrong. So we have to have a little bit of a critical approach in our own habits and look at them and readjust them and make whatever we do supportive of nice chanting, nice hearing, and then automatically all the other devotional service also becomes nice. Then all the other types, aspects of devotional service, they do not become a burden, but they become nice. But when the chanting and hearing is somehow or other done in between, when it's squeezed in between many things and the mind is half there, etc., even if you are externally nicely there in the whole regulated, scheduled process, still you will not get the benefit of feeling satisfied in devotional service, and as a result, you will take your duties as a burden. And how long can the donkey carry the burden? Yeah. Yes. So we should stop being donkeys in that way. And that means we have to give up our stubbornness, because that is the reason why a donkey is donkey, because he is so stubborn. So we have to give up our stubbornness. We have to simply accept that we will surrender to Krishna consciousness, to the process of Krishna consciousness, and put that first in our life, and put our personal ideas and desires on the second plane. Okay, I'll stop now. Any questions or comments? Prema City Pula.
You're doing so much service for me, so much preaching. You know, this is, I don't know, it's preaching is more important, service is more important. Mm-hmm. So much
so many
books
I
just
don't
know.
Challenge. Alright. Little intimidation to start over. Well, yes, that is wonderful. All glories to your lotus feet. I understand. I admire you. You are one of the rare few, you know. You are a hero. Us ordinary people, we have read about people like you. But to meet one in person is really fantastic. I'm very pleased to meet you. How do you do it? What's your secret? Where do you get your energy? I don't seem to find
find the type of energy to do what you're doing. You're a miracle, right? You're a living miracle. You must have some city. Is that why your name is Prem City? What is your secret? Please tell me.
I usually just do it for the pleasure of the spiritual
master. Yes. Yes, that of course is very nice. But where do you get that determination?
Just do it. You're told to do it, so that's why I do it.
But how do you get the determination to just do what you're told to do?
Strength is in the order.
And you always feel inspired and you never feel tired?
Inspired.
You never get tired? You don't feel tired sometimes?
Just continue.
Doesn't your mind sometimes tell you to just drop it all? Do you get aggressive sometimes? He's hiding behind Mother Mahan. I can't see him anymore. So, I don't know, you know, like, I mean, I appreciate it that you're going through all this, but do you really have to do all this to yourself? Yeah. Is it necessary to torture yourself in this way and make it so difficult for yourself? It could be much easier, spiritual life. Yeah. So, personally, I think it's dangerous what you're doing. I think you're playing with fire. I think when you are having such an attitude that with time you may get more and more tired, more and more tense, you may have more and more suppressed feelings that one day will burst out like a volcano. And I think on one day it could go wrong. Of course, you may be the exception, but for most of us, it may not be advisable. Therefore, I would think that you cannot just simply ignore everything. No, spiritual life, it is safer. It is much safer to gradually progress, to reveal one's mind in confidence, to take advice of senior Vaishnavas, and to openly deal with the experiences that we have. And just like sometimes you have a disciple of a certain spiritual master who always in front of Guru Maharaj is, you know, really doing well. How are things? Fine, Guru Maharaj. Hari Bol. And, you know, bathes this, running around, and this, that. And then after, you know, so heavy, just that. But never tell. Whenever, fine, yes, really good, yes, yes. Are you okay? Oh, yes, yes, yes. Right? So what's the point of this? He's not taking advantage of his spiritual master. He's not revealing his mind about his struggles in his spiritual life, and therefore he's not taking the help. So as devotees, we are a family, and we are not a bunch of strangers. Therefore, we should have open relationships, and we should take shelter of devotees and take their guidance to deal with our situation so that we are peacefully situated. So in a Vedic culture, to be peacefully situated was a big thing. The whole Vedic culture is very gradual. It's very much set up for being peacefully situated. Varnashram is that, being peacefully situated. In our movement, of course, in this day and age, it's not entirely possible to have Varnashram. We're living in Kali Yuga, you know. So a little bit more austerity and just rough it, right, may be there. But too much of that is taking unnecessary risk. Because we shouldn't think that we are bigger and tougher than we are. We shouldn't think that we are super bhakta. You know, t-shirt and this super bhakta. Super bhakta again, you know. Wow. Again, he was out in the marathon more hours than anyone else. Amazing. Wow. He didn't distribute most books, but He's put in the most time. He gets the special prize. Super Bhakta. Super Bhakta gets up before 2 o'clock, you know, even if he goes to bed at 1. Super Bhakta. Never fails. Super Bhakta, right? Super Bhakta quotes a slok, right? On any occasion. You won't get him down. Super Bhakta.
Yes. good luck. Yes, Mataji.
Might it be also a misunderstanding of the instructions of the spiritual master?
Yes.
Saying this is
Mother. Yes. Yes, of course. So Mother Nikunjavasini made a good point that it's not entirely coming forth out of independent action, but that it comes forth out of misunderstanding the instructions of the spiritual master. And I would say, yes, taking the instructions of the spiritual master and walk away with them, right? Never to refer back to him, you know, and just, okay, I accept the instructions of the spiritual master, and then I'll go be completely independent with the instructions of the spiritual master again. And in this, you know, I don't need anyone to help me, to guide me in following the instructions of the spiritual master, not even the spiritual master. I'll take the instructions and I'll just execute them all by myself. And I know perfectly well what I'm doing. Anyway, it's a little comment from myself.
So they then come back and there's so much garbage going on. I mean, of course there are some instructions and some things which we hear may be true.
Yes.
But other things which are common or which we hear are not the truth. It's like diving in big garbage and it's contaminating so much the mind.
Yes.
During the day to serve
him,
you
really
talk about it, so then come late.
So. Yes, yes. And you can while chanting your rounds. And
to go on.
All right.
Well, you know, so you're first of all, being on Sankirtan is a very important, pleasing mission to Srila Prabhupada, which only can be executed by very great concentration. Because when you take such a position of going right out into the front lines with Maya, then you need to focus very much on your spiritual activity. And therefore you need very strong rounds and strong reading to be able to do that successfully. So naturally, your point is there that so many things are happening. And there are genuine problems happening with devotees because it is the age of Kali and we have to learn how to follow this process. So it's a little difficult. So people are getting into difficulties sometimes. And then others start to talk about it. You heard it all. And then all the rumors are added to it. The spice is added to it. And then by the time, you know, it's like... Then it becomes all a big network of stories, and then what is true and what is not becomes a whole trip, and then you got to go and ask somebody who is one of the authorities, you know, because maybe they know the real story, right? To find out, like, is this true? Is this not true? Etc. To get it off your mind. And if it's true, then you have to get into a digestion process. So what can I do? You deserve to come to a happy temple where everyone's just happily engaged in chanting Hare Krishna, etc. You deserve all that. And then to happily go back out in Sankirtan. But when it's not like that, due to growing pains that our movement is going through, then what can we do? What can we do? Then all we can do is take shelter of another verse. Tateinu kampam susamik samana. That we have to have to just take it. This is providence. This is fate. Now all these difficulties are coming. We have to tolerate. We have to just take it that this difficulty is here for our purification. We tolerate. At the same time, we may also raise these points that maybe some adjustments could be made, and we can make some adjustments ourselves. And we can also maybe collectively try and do something to send a message, to discuss the need for some adjustment when things are going wrong. Not that the whole process is wrong. No, the process is wonderful. Devotional service is wonderful. Krishna is wonderful. The holy name is wonderful. It's all wonderful. But different individuals can make different mistakes, and gradually we learn by experience how they make mistakes, and we also learn how to avoid. So in that way, maturing in this world is not only always through pleasure and through very inspiring things, but maturing also is through pain and suffering and through going through difficulties. Wisdom also comes in that way. So ultimately, it's for the good of all. Ultimately, we'll come out as wiser, deeper personalities who understand better how to do things proper. But we are in the process of making things better. So we hope that in the future we can fulfill your desire. And meanwhile, tatenu kampam susamiksamana bunjana evatnakitam vipakam ritvakpapuri yuviradan namaste. And if you do that, then you'll become dayabak. If you tolerate all these difficulties or problems, whatever comes and goes, then you become the rightful heir of the mercy of Krishna. So, this is another test of Krishna. Yes, last, because it's getting late. Yes.
Alright. So I suppose if you experience some of satisfaction of following the program nicely and get some satisfaction from it, does it mean that the problem ceases then? What is around you and all these things you don't know? So,
when you're happy, you can handle anything. When you feel happy, then difficult things become easy. That's how this process works. It's very simple, you know. Even in the material world, we know it. Sometimes in the face of material happiness, someone can fly. Yeah? But when, you know, you're not happy, then everything is so difficult. So therefore, if you're happy in your Krishna consciousness, then you can handle so many difficulties and let them go by and not become too absorbed in them because you're happy. Yeah? So certainly satisfaction is very important. And ultimately, our process depends on satisfaction. What do you think that Krishna Prem is? Krishna Prem means overflowing with satisfaction. Right? So before you get to overflowing, you have to, before your heart overflows, at least you've got to fill it up with a little bit, right? You've got to start filling the heart with satisfaction until it kind of bursts with satisfaction. Right? Till it becomes sneha, liquid, till it melts out of satisfaction. Right? This is, of course, so therefore satisfaction is an integral part of our process. So, yes, we should be satisfied. And yes, when you're satisfied, then you cannot be affected. It's not that the advanced devotees, by dint of mystical potency, are able to not become affected by the ups and downs of the material energy. It is just because they're completely satisfied. Nirahasya. They are no longer captured. They have param drishta nivartite. Nirahasya. Like that. So param drishta means satisfaction. Superior taste. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.